NBA Straya. How are you going?
How you going, mate?
That's right, it's Friday. It's April 23, 2GIF. Am I right? What's going on, Friday? I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money here in Larry Armour Studios with a slightly new setup. So just bear with me if any screw-ups happen, which they are 100% going to, now that I've said it. Anyway, we are here giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season, day in, day out. That's what we do here, isn't it? It's pretty wild while ripping Australia a bit. And we don't take things too seriously. You might have gathered that in the first minute. Here we go. We leave the serious stuff to the nerds. They just love being really serious, don't they?
Oh, basketball's very serious. Not to talk about it very seriously.
Right! Anthony Davis came back today. Trae Young got some good injury news. But we also lost the Extreme Zingemeal to a turned ankle as well, which stinks.
Extreme Zingemeal.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Look, we'll talk about all the games, though. There was a couple of really rippers. We'll talk about those in the game wraps. We've also got That's Not an IFL, mate. No, mate. Spot of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball. It is Friday. That means we've got Dickhead of the Week.
A very, very easy one this week.
He who shall not be named. We've got Yeah Nas. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. There's Australian Player Watch, and always on a Friday, we've got a Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just does their bloody job, Role Player of the Week award. And a preview for every single game on the weekend. Every single bloody one. Unreal. Pick and preview for each of those. That'll be fun. And we'll finish up, I think, with a song. Maybe a Cooking with Bainesy. We'll figure it out when we get to the end.
I'll leave you in suspense.
Right. Episode 596 of NBA Straya. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better, especially if you're Steve Nash. He's just out there catching stray bullets in the MVP convos today. So, hey man, did Steve Nash beat you for an MVP?
Yeah, but he was on the best team.
Yeah, good job, Shaq. It's a good argument.
Yeah, he was on the best team. He wasn't a bad player.
Okay, Shaq. Cool.
I was better than Steve Nash.
So what did Steve Nash do to deserve this? I mean, yes, he probably shouldn't have won two MVPs, but still. I did enjoy Shaq just going,
that's what MVP means to everybody else except you little weaklings. Be the best player out there.
Okay, Shaq. Chuck and Kenny going after Shaq is always fun because Shaq can then just turn around and go,
I'm count the rings.
And Chuck, having also won an MVP, but just not the ring, doesn't quite compare, which kind of stinks. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show. We're going to talk about MVP later as well, just because there's not a giant amount else that's really up for debate at the moment. But anyway, let's start today's show with the daily whip around. There you go. Oh, I just watched Ocean Grove do their cover of Sneaky Sound System's UFO, and I'm just fucking stoked. I feel better this week than I have, like, for the entire week combined. And B, I just fucking love Ocean Grove. That band rules. I fucking love, like, when it comes to heavy music and shit like that, like, Ocean Grove is such a weird mix of, like, everything kind of heavy, but also kind of just, like, fucking jagged and in your eyeballs. Like, they're basically methcore, right? You listen to it and you're like, I think I may have just done meth. And you look at them and it's like, huh, I've got a feeling there might, there's just something infused in here. Here we go. Their albums are awesome. I fucking love them. So it was really cool to see that. I literally watched it just before starting recording. So anyway, let's start today's show. Trae Young, his lateral sprain of his left ankle is a grade 2. So there's a little grade 2. He'll be back once it's okay. Apparently, basically, that's one of the best kind of outcomes he could have hoped for. So good news, everybody, if you're an Atlanta fan, all 8 of you, and Dominique Wilkins. So he'll be okay once the swelling and pain are done. I mean, if you've ever rolled an ankle, give it a week. She might be all right. 2 weeks at a max. Hopefully he'll be back soon because Atlanta need him desperately. We talked about it on yesterday's show about Atlanta holding onto that 4 seed, and I don't know. It's just a bit of a struggle if they don't have Trey for, you know, 3-4 games. But who knows? He has come back from injuries, you know, pretty fast in the past, so we'll see what happens. The Extreme Zingamil, as I mentioned...
Extreme Zingamil!
...rolled his ankle today going against the Lakers, but good news there as well is that he was walking around after without a boot on or anything. But when it's a 7'2" dude, the old Latvian gangbanger himself, when you've got the Zinger out there, you want him supercharged.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
You don't want him one of those flaccid, barely going Zinger Burgers. You know those Zinger Burgers where there's like, ah, oh, there's like nothing. There, where's all the spice at? Why did I get a shit Zinger? I want a hot Zinger. I want the extreme one.
Extreme Zinger meal.
Yeah, so give him a rest. Make sure he's all good to go in the next week or so, and away you go, Mavs. But that stinks for the Mavs. We'll talk about that later again, too. Damian Lee, he's entered the league's health and safety protocols for a 10 to 14-day absence.
You got that cocoa, hey, Damian? You got that cocoa. You got that Trumpy Trumpy good time.
It stinks for the Warriors because they don't have any centers. It's like Kevon Looney and him. So a bit shit, and hopefully he's all right because... Look, if it is the cocoa, and it does sound like it is the cocoa, look, you don't want anything bad to happen. So, anyway, a bit of a shit moment for the Warriors. They are still fighting for their playoff lives. The Pelicans winning today does put the heat on the Warriors just a little bit. Right, let's do some game raps for today.
Game raps, 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 game raps.
Game raps. Game raps. If you are part of a community sporting group or social club and you want the easiest way to run a raffle or crowdfunding ever, why not use... our favorite little Aussie startup, We Are. That's right, We Are NBA Australia, or you could be. We Are, insert your name here. WeAre.co, it is the best way to fund a project if you're a community sporting group or social club or whatever, or say you're NBA Australia and you want to run a raffle. That's right, NBA Australia has a raffle running right now with WeAre.co. So if you go check out our socials, the old Facey, the Insta, the Twitter, you'll find a link. You can go check out the raffles. You can win a meat tray. But on top of that, you can win awesome merch packs, which is really cool. And as I've lamented a couple of times, I probably should have priced the tickets a little higher. They're cheap as chips for what you can win. So have at it. Take advantage of me. Oh, geez. Not this again. anyway, you can use WeAre.co yourself if you've got a local basketball club, footy club, netball club, whatever. Give them a squiz. They're the best. We love them. And they present our daily game wrap. So we've got 6 games today. Boston beat the piss out of Phoenix, who did not want to be in Boston very, very much at all today. 99-86. Weird first half. The Celtics had like 12 turnovers in a half. Tatum shot like shit. There was no Jaylen Brown, no Time Lord, no Evan Fournier. But they still led by 16. It was a bit odd. Turns out, though, Kemba Walker couldn't miss. He had 19 in the first half. He was shot 7 of 8. It was unreal. Look, but Phoenix, you know, it's inevitable. They pegged them a little bit back in the third, but Boston just sort of settled. And then in the fourth, they kept up a 12-point lead across the third just because Tatum got a couple of shots to drop. And Phoenix just could not get anything rolling. And then in the fourth, Kemba had 13 more, and away he went. Booker fouled out. The story of this game was the Suns just did not give a shit. They're on a back-to-back. They were gassed. And it was over. Then right at the end, there was a bit of angst between Tristan Thompson and Torrey Craig, which is pretty weird, pretty funny, a bit odd. To be honest, it'd be pretty easy to have angst with Tristan Thompson. Just go, hey, how many times you cheated on that Kardashian? What's going on? So for the Suns, they shot 41%. CP3 had 22, 8 and 8. But no one else did anything. Booker had 15. 15 for Michael Bridges as well. He went 1 of 9 from downtown. And Ayton had 10 and 9. The Celtics end up with 20 turnovers. Not bad considering they had 12 in the first half. But still, they shot only 42%. They still won. It's pretty weird. But they did out-rebound them by 10. And they went to the line. That's the big key thing here. The Suns did not. They got to the line 9 times. The Celtics 24. Kemba. Feels like he's turned a corner in the last 3-4 weeks. He had 32 in this one. He ends up with 25, absolutely cruising. And 11 of 17? Yeah, Was it 25 in the first? No, settle down. It was 19 in the first half. Crushed it. 11 of 17 from the floor. 5 of 11 from downtown. He was bloody good. 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Tatum had 15, 11, and 6. He was feeling it early. He's like, I've got a triple-double now. I might have another one. And fell a bit short. He shot 3 of 17 again, though. Jason, come on, mate. Jason, come on. What are you doing? 1 of 8 from downtown. That's a brutal line. Marcus Smart had 11 points and 11 shots, but he did a lot of good stuff. He had 7 rebounds, 5 turnovers. He was a plus 21, Smart. Jabari Parker, 6-4 and 4 in 15 minutes. Pritchard and Naismith also hit a couple of threes. Pretty handy when your bench dudes are actually doing a little bit for the Celtics. They've kind of just settled. They've been 6-1 since D-Wade was like, oh, they don't have an identity. They're now 32 and 27. Phoenix are 42 and 17. The New Orleans Pelicans. We don't really need to talk about this one, do we? 135 beat the absolute piss out of Orlando. 135-100. Jesus. This was an absolute shit-pumping. Mo Bamba. The MVP watch is back on. He had 17 and 12. He was awesome. Cole Anthony had 14. RJ Hampton, honorary Kiwi, 10 points. Shot 5 of 13, though. Oh, geez. Pelicans. Zion was unstoppable for most of this game. He was incredible. Just absolute fucking Mack trucking dudes. 23-7 for him. 9 of 12 shooting. Spindles Ingram. Oh, Brandon Spindles Ingram. 29-6. He went 11 of 17. Look, if Zion and Spindles just aren't going to miss, you're probably going to lose. Bledsoe was pretty good too. He went 5 of 7 from downtown. Did zip else. He had 15. And Willie Hernangómez ended up with 16-10. Love to see that. Lonzo had a very, very nice alley-oop to Zion, where he kind of just like went, Zion, I'm going to throw the ball above the hoop. Can you go and get it, please? And he's like, oh, yeah. Just fucking jumped up and grabbed it. Orlando are now 18 and 41. That's some good tanking. And the Pelicans, 26 and 33. Chasing, as mentioned, your Golden State Warriors for a spot in the play-in tournament. Couple of games back now, but look, you just can't predict this goddamn Pelicans team, can you? They're 3 games back. You feel like the Warriors are going to stick. But he's only 3.5 behind the Spurs as well. Who knows what's going to happen there. 26-33, there you go. Good on your pals. Philly lost in Milwaukee, 124-117. Huge start for the Bucks. It was 10-0 in less than, 2 minutes? It was insane. They hit their first 10 shots. It was incredible. They never looked back as well. They hung 77 on Philly in the first half. Embiid couldn't hit anything in the first quarter. I think it was like 1 of 6. And then in the second quarter, it got going a little bit, made it respectable. But Jesus, look, Philly were down, but they did hang around. Like, Embiid didn't have like a dominating game. They're on a back-to-back as well. Tobias Harris came back for this game, though, from his right knee soreness. He got going a little bit in the third. And suddenly, Philly were only down 9. And then Bobby Portis knocked in like 3 threes. He had 9 straight points. It was crazy at the end of the third quarter. It was a 20-point lead going to the fourth. And this game was over, right? Dunskies. And if you're like, I don't know, say me, Jimmy, who may or may not have had some money on, I don't know, Milwaukee at a guess, -5.5. You'd be like, legendary. They're up by 20. This is fucking sick. They're up like 15 for most of the fourth quarter. And then, of course, the Sixers out of absolutely fucking nowhere. Tyrese Maxey doing dumb shit, just scoring. And, like, the Bucks just doing dumb turnovers. You're like, what are you morons doing? They went on a 14-1 run right at the end of the fourth quarter to basically get it down to 6 and having a chance to get it right back in there, but they have to foul Giannis. He gets it back up to 7 and just left that run a little bit too late. Oof. Anthony Tolliver had a chance to hit a meaningless 3 at the end. Old John Sally from the movie Eddie, Anthony Tolliver, that would have cost your old mate Jimmy a pretty penny. Luckily, he bloody missed it, and I can afford a new pair of shoes. So that's good. That's the story of this game. I was shitting it. I'm like, what are they doing? Bucks, wake up. You're killing me. Embiid had 24 in this. He did shoot 9 of 21, though. 0 of 4 from downtown. And that's what happens. Like, if Embiid just goes an over on his threes and it's more than 2, It's going to be a bit of a rough one. He was a minus 19. Tobias Harris had 18 points, 6 assists. Jeez, it's a bit of a rough spot. We're in a back-to-back. Tobias comes back, though. We need a big game. 18 points. Thanks, Tobias. Seth the shit one, Curry. Yeah, I went 3-3 from downtown, but he only had 11 points. George Hill was forgettable in his first start as a sixer. Danny not the box of green had 15 minutes and was a minus 18. Gross! Shake had 20 off the bench. He hit some of those shots at the end as well, which is funny. Maxi scored a bunch of those points too. He had 11, but yeah, the Sixers never really threatened until right at the end. Their defense was just atrocious. No Simmons, and Matty T's doing all he could, but nothing going. The Buckaroos, Giannis had 27 and 16 with 6 assists. That's pretty bloody good, tell you that much. Pippa Middleton, old Chris O. Pippa Middleton, 24 and 5, went 4 of 7 from deep. Lopez went 4 of 7 from deep as well for his 16. And Drew Holiday, he's a gun. 12 points, 11 assists, but fighting Bobby Portis, what a game. Fighting around the world. 5 of 5 from downtown. He had 23 and 5. He was great. Paddy C. Paddy Connaughton also had a bit of a dagger 3. He had 10 points, but he had dagger 3 when Philly sort of just threatened to get a little bit close. Had a bit of a sniff. Paddy C knocked in a 3, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Anyway, Philly now 39 and 20. Hanging tough on the top of the East with Brooklyn. And the Bucks are just there at 36 and 22. Oof, there you go. Right, Detroit lost in San Antonio 106-91.
Oh, it's a repeat of the 2005 NBA Finals. Awesome.
No, no one cares. No one bloody cared. I'll talk about that later as well. The Spurs never shook the Pistons, really. They had a big lead in the third. Pistons cut it to 3. Then they turn it back on in the fourth. And then the Pistons got it all the way back to 3 again. And then the Spurs finally settled, really turned it on, got it out to 18 thanks to teenage mutant Jakob Poeltl. Derek White, and they crushed it for the last 6 minutes and beat the shit out of him. Like, it was 81-84, and then it was 85-100. That's how you win a game. That was all Poeltl, White, Lonnie Walker, and a Keldon Johnson 3 that was just... mwah. Finger-kissing emoji. The Pistons went 8-22 from downtown and 17 turnovers. That'll lose you a game. Josh Pacey-Jackson had 29, though. That was pretty good. Killian Hayes, 12 points, 5 assists. I love to see that. 5 of 15 shooting, though. Gross! Lonnie Walker at 18. He was good. 4 of 5 from downtown as well for the Spurs. What else? I don't know. Not much. What? The Pistons had, what, Frank Freddie Jackson? He had 14. But anyway, Derek White's 26 was good. Poeltl, as mentioned, 17-11. Lonnie Walker, 18. 14 for Rudy Gay. Whatever, the Spurs ran away with it. Detroit are 18-42. That's some good tanking. And your San Antonio Bandera Spurs are 29-29, hanging in the 9th spot in the West. Charlotte got absolutely belted by Chicago. Can you tell my new system's a bit wobbly? She's getting everywhere on me. 108-91. Bulls got off to a fast start, and that's crucial for the Bulls because then they blew them out in the third quarter, and this was over. They're up as many as 27, I think, and it sat as much as, like, basically at 25 for all the fourth quarter. So, yeah, tough one for Charlotte. Rose had 8 assists, but he had 11 points on 5 of 15 shooting. Gross! Devontae Graham had 16 points, 3 of 11 from downtown then. Oh, come on, Devontae. You got to do a little bit more, mate. 3 assists. 13 points from Miles Bridges on 13 shots. He did have an amazing tomahawk that I'm going to talk about in a second. No one else had it going, though, for the Hornets. 8 of 31 from downtown. The injuries and just the schedules catching up with the Hornets a little bit much. I thought they'd put up a little bit more of a fight, but this is the thing. If Chicago get going early and can sort of set the pace and aren't in, like, a drag-out, punch-out fight, then they're okay. And Vooch was big in that because he was just dominating early. He ends up with 18, 16, and 6. Pretty good line. Dominated. Kobe White went 7 of 10 for his 18 points. He was really good. 4 of 6 from downtown. Thad Buckets. Oh, Brisbane Bullets owner Thad Young. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He went 8 of 10. He was really good. Larry, that's a girl's name, Mark, and 11 points as well. Went 3 of 8 from 3. And Sato had 10 and 7. Charlotte dropped to 28 and 30. And their position is looking pretty precarious. Now, they're in the 8th spot. They're only a game up on Indy at the moment, which is a bit scary if you're Charlotte. Chicago improved to a half game back of the Wiz for the 10th spot. So they're still in 11th, obviously. And finally, the Lakers got beaten in Dallas, 115-110. AD, Anthony Davis, the Brow. The man with the single worst nickname in NBA history that isn't just the lazy or...
His name is Chris Paul, so we're going to call him CP and then his number, 3.
The Brow. Hey, Anthony, how are you going to make up for having zero personality?
Oh, look at my eyebrow. It goes all the way across my head. You should call me the Brow.
Fuck off, idiot. Anyway, without Luca scoring in the first, the Mavs were still fine. It was pretty weird. The Extreme Zingamil was crushing it.
Extreme Zingamil.
It was doing really, really well. The Mavs kind of had control of this game. I mean, you get this. The Lakers, they've got a very, very rusty AD. He started 1 of 6, I think, in the first quarter. Ends up 2 of 10 for the game. And the Lakers are sort of trying to just incorporate him back into the game, as you do. And Dallas was sort of just running their stuff. Looked pretty good. And to kick off the third, there was like an 8-zip Lakers run. Then there was answered by a 10-zip Mavs run. And you're like, well, this is a bit fun. Here we go. Off you go, Lakers. This is good. And Zinger rolls his ankle. The Lakers are now leading. Schroeder's just doing work. Crushing it. Just put the Lakers on his back. But the Mavs got a nice little run to end the third quarter. Went up into the fourth quarter. Was a 94-90, I think. And this was all to do with Schroeder and Drummond and KCP just being able to like basically not miss a shot. A bit of Caruso hustle just kept the Lakers all the way in it, all the way down through the fourth. And Lakers just got a little. The Lakers just couldn't quite keep up though. Mavs got a little bit of separation thanks to JJ Redick actually in that fourth quarter. Proved a bit of worth across the third and fourth. You're like, yeah, JJ's really helping this Dallas team. Brunson really helped close it out as well. Luka was sooking and moaning through a bunch of it. Jesus, I'll talk about that in a second too. But they got there in the end. He hit a couple of big buckets. There was a nice little runner there that he had on Schroeder, which was pretty handy. Another one on Caruso where you're like, oof, pretty good. Luka, pretty good. They tried Hacker Willy later. I mean, we've all tried Hacker Willy, haven't we? But Dallas hold him. They get the win. 16 Laker turnovers didn't help. AD with his 17 minutes. He was a minus 11. Had 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting. Ugh. KCP had 29, though. We went 6 of 12 from downtown, 9 of 17 overall. 25 points and 13 assists for German Thrandl. I am Dennis Schroeder. He was really good. I'll tell you who wasn't. Kuz. He sucked. 4 of 10 from the floor, 8, 6 and 4 for Kuzma.
Oh, but when LeBron goes out and Anthony Davis isn't there, Kuzma will show you just how good he is.
Yeah, which is not very. Jesus. 14 points, 19 rebounds, and 3 assists for Drummond. But I'll tell you what. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's no other big man in the NBA who misses as much around the rim as Andre Drummond. So enjoy that experience, Lakers fans. Trez had 14 points in 17 minutes. Markieff Morris had 4 points. Gross. Trez had 5 fouls in 17 minutes. It's unbelievable. That dude talks a lot of shit for not being that good. The Mavs, Luka had 39 and 8. He was awesome. Shoots 9 of 21, 3 of 9 from downtown. The Zinger, 19 and 6 before he gets hurt. He was the supercharged Zinger Burger too.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Richo had 13 points. Hardaway the lesser at 8 on 10 shots. Thanks for coming. 10s each for Dwight and Dorian. And 11 and 8 for Willie. Big Willie Cauley Stein style for filling in for the Zinger. And JJ had 7 important points. Brunson was good and handy too. He had 7, but look. Mavs hold on. That was a good win. They needed it too. They're tied with Portland now for the, I believe, 6-7 spots in the West. Portland have the Trailblazers have the tiebreaker though. So the 32-26 is kind of good, but they're going to need a little bit more. Lakers are 35-24 just ahead of them as well, 2.5 games up. So there you go. 6 games wrapped. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a
knife. Zion Williamson. Zion boosted. Absolutely boosted the Magic Man. He was like a man amongst boys, amongst men amongst boys, amongst boys to men. Zion beasted. He was awesome. He was just a Mack truck in a person's body. He was like a young Aaron Baines. He was incredible. He absolutely just ran amok, ran over the top of everybody. He was awesome. Really enjoyed that. 23 points, 7 rebounds, shot 9 of 12. Yeesh. Anyway, but also Luka, as mentioned, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. Shot it pretty well. But today I'm actually going to give this one to Kemba Walker. Because he was absolutely, he was the only difference in this Phoenix-Boston game between the two teams. Because both teams were like, oh, geez, what are we doing here? Why are we playing? Phoenix were just gassed as shit after playing the Sixers. Boston are just like, dude, we've had a bit of a weird run. Ugh. And Kemba just goes, right, not tonight. We're winning. We don't have Jaylen Brown. We don't have Time Lord. We don't have Fournier. Fellas, Tatum can't hit a bloody shot to save his life. I'll win it for us. And sometimes, look, the fact that Kemba is out there in a game like this, he's your second option, obviously, behind Tatum. But there's no Brown, so it's basically Kemba or Tatum. Take us home. Kemba goes, fuck it, I'll do it. 32, 4 and 4, and 11 of 17 shooting, 5 of 11 from downtown, 5 of 6 from the line. He gunned it. He got them the win. It was tough as hell, and it was beautiful to see because, look, when Kemba's on, it's very fun. Look, I've always referred to him as like the baseline superstar, right? Like if he's your best player, you're probably not going fucking anywhere. You might be in that morass to make it to the, you know, the bottom end of the playoffs, maybe. But he also, when you watch him in person, there's just a little something, something where you're like, oh shit, that guy's better than everybody, isn't he? And he's sort of, as I mentioned, he's turned the corner in the last couple of weeks. You're like, yes, yes, good old Kemba. I love to see it. So look, if he stays healthy, that's really fun. And obviously, same as with the Knicks, when they're good, when Boston are also good at the same time in Philly, it just makes it more fun. So let's go, Kemba. Way to go. You are the NBA Australia Proof of Thurma of the night. How about Spud of the night, though, Jimmy?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Chumaro Kiki! Wow. 1 of 12 from the floor. 1 of 12, baby! What are you doing, Chuma? 0 of 4 from downtown. He was brutal. Thing is, I mean, you're on the Magic. 1 of 12, you may as well just keep shooting. Like, who gives a No one cares. You need to lose. Like, Chuma could be like 0 of 8 and he wouldn't care. It's like, just keep shooting, bro. Just keep going, man. but tonight's spot of the night, I'm going to go Booker. Devin Booker was brutally fouled out running over Kemba. I think a bunch of his fouls were offensive fouls as well. Just a very much a game where he's like, I don't want to be here. This stinks. I don't like it. I don't want to do this. It was horrible yesterday as well. He got locked down by Matty T. And today, look, he went 15 points on 6 of 13 shooting. That's not usual Spud of the Night territory, but he was 0 of 2 from 3. He had 2 assists and 5 turnovers and fouled out. It was very much like he was just a gross, bad presence on the court for the Suns, and you don't want that for Booker. And more than that, so ever since the video of him hooping with Kylie Jenner went up, Devin Booker's averages have now just dropped to 18.8 points a game on 39% from the floor, 21% from three. I'm just saying, Devin, I think the writing's been on the wall for a long time now. Just keep your pain just away. Just think with your head, not the little bloke. Don't go near a fucking Kardashian or a Jenner while you're playing basketball. It doesn't end up, it doesn't work for fucking anybody, Devin. What are you doing, mate? Come on. Look, I'm just stepping up as your mate. She's not good for you, pal. She's not good for you. Come on. Come on. I mean, look at Ben Simmons. Same vibe. Just saying. Panting of the night. So, kind of want to have this one as also with Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates. Who's got no mates today? Luca. Pantsing. He got the ball stolen by Caruso, the real White Mamba. But also, god damn it. Like, so it turns out like the Zinger and Luca might not like really love each other. That's fine. Cuban came out on radio, was like, yeah, you know, and they're not the best of friends. All right. I don't know why you needed to like tell everybody, Cubes, you moron, but still, here we are. He did go on to say they're like Jet and Dirk. And I'm like, oh, that's all right then. It's like, we're just cool. We're cool. We're fine. We're not best buddies in the world. But that's fine. But the thing was, like, the old mate no mates, the vibe on the court with Luca is just them bitching and the moaning and the sadness and the yelling at the refs and the exasperated faces after fucking, wow, is it getting old. Luka was complaining about a call that went his team's way until he realized where the ref's arm was pointing. He's like, oh. It's like, Luka, just pull your head in a little bit and it might be more fun. Other old mate, no mates, LeBron, pretty interesting. Like the reaction to his your next hashtag accountability tweet. Is that everybody's like, geez, who thought that was a good idea? LeBron, what are you doing, mate? And LeBron's like, yeah, that was a pretty bad idea. Fuck that one pretty badly. It's going to be fascinating to see how LeBron sort of bounces back and like what his next run of public-y kind of speaking and talking and fronting up to the media is going to be like after that. But definitely old mate, no mates, because no one's out here going, oh, well, LeBron, yeah, that was a good idea. And the rim. Jimmy, what do you mean the rim? When it comes to old mate, no mates, this is also a pantsing of the night because the rim, when Miles Bridges is around, holy shit, that is old mate, no mates. He hurts it like it's a fucking redheaded stepchild. Like it is brutal. He's just out there giving it a fucking booting. But also Vooch, he got detonated on by Miles Bridges, but Vooch did the very smart thing. He saw the ball. He looked who was holding the ball. He's like, Miles Bridges. So I'm between him and the rim. Not anymore, and hopped out of the road. That's a great one. Beef Stew got a bit of a pantsing, Isaiah Stewart. He got put, oh man. So in terms of great tomahawks, Keldon Johnson had an amazing one today against the Pistons for the Spurs. And Isaiah Stewart's gone up to contest what he thought was like Keldon Johnson going to the rim. Beef Stew has then gone, oh shit, he's still going up. I'm still going to contest. Keldon Johnson, mid-air. Pushed him out of the road. It's like, holy shit. And then dunked an absolutely brutal tomahawk on him. And it's like, wow. Keldon Johnson just manhandled Beef Stew out of the road, midair, and tomahawked it. That was pretty good. So there you go. Bit of a combo pantsing night, old mate, no mates for you today. Better than Lonzo Ball, however.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Kobe White. He was awesome. 18 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 of 6 from downtown. Love Kobe White. 3 assists, 3 rebounds. But really, come on, who are we kidding? Mo Bamba! I mean, it's a bit tough to compare Lonzo Ball and his 12 assists today to a future MVP like Mo Bamba. 17 and 12, 2 blocks, off he goes. Magic, jump on board. He's going to be the next MVP. Can't wait. 6 of 15 he shot, 2 of 7 from downtown. Now, you might ask, why is some dude that big and that skinny shooting 7 threes? I'd also ask the same question, considering he could just dominate because he's Mo Bamba. What about Legend of the Week? Legend of the Week. Rudy Gay copping a $20,000 fine for helping his mate Patty Thrills, love to see that. And Kyle Lowry, legend of the week, he's getting an honorary doctorate from Acadia, which is pretty gnarly. And he said to the reporters asking me about it, going, yeah, it ain't official yet, but when it's official, I will not respond to anything other than Dr. Lowry. Then he was asked, what are you going to be a doctor of? And he said, doctor of greatness. Yes, that is awesome. Absolutely unreal. God, I love Kyle Lowry. That is unreal. What? I'm a doctor of greatness. I would have also accepted Doctor of Badassery and Doctor of Big Booty. Dickhead of the Week, though.
Dickhead of the Week!
Easy one. He who shall not be named. His name starts with a J and ends in Akar Sampson, and he can go blow it out his ass trying to fight Patty Mills. Go fuck yourself, mate. Got suspended for a game. I still reckon he should have been thrown out of the league. You're 6'8". You're trying to fight a 6'1" bloke. Go fuck yourself and blow it out your ass. Dickhead of the week is very easily he who shall not be named. The fact that Patty Mills got fined as well. Adam Silver has made a late run for dickhead of the week. And, you know, fining Rudy Gay for coming to the help of his 6'1" teammate who's been picked on by a big boy. The big boy's picking on me, miss. And he's like, mate comes to help him out and he gets fined. The NBA's fucked. It's just, blow it out your ass, you idiots. I'm just saying. Appoint me VP of Common Sense with my six-figure salary, post-haste, and we'll get this figured out. It's very simple. Jimmy, should we? All right. Bring, bring. Hello. This is Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy, it's Adam Silver. So We're thinking about fining Rudy Gay and Patty. I'll stop you there, Adam. Don't fucking do it, mate. What are you doing? What? Like, that dickhead, that big fella, he was trying to fight Patty Mills. And you're going to fine Patty Mills? For what, Adam?
Well, he kind of...
No, Adam, I'm going to stop you there again, mate. He didn't do anything. He got shoved. He got headbutted and then shoved. What are you fining him for?
Well, you see...
No, Adam, don't just... I'm going to pull the plug here, mate. You can't do it. All right, I'll speak to you later. Catch ya. Beep, beep, beep. What are you doing, NBA? You've lost the fucking plot. Anyway, don't dog the boys. Don't dog Patty Mills. Right, let's do some yenas right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yenas. And they are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from Ace Knife Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, mate, what are you doing? You've got NBA playoffs coming up. You've got footy back. Don't go to the Bottle-O. It's cold and miserable and gross outside. Just go on the internet. Go to thedailyliquor.com and they've got everything you need. All the beers, all the wine, all the cocktails. The party packs are amazing. Boom. Bob's your uncle. Bang in your order. They'll bring it to your house. And if you bang in the code STRAYA as well, they'll give you a free sixer of the amazing... I've got a six-pack of the Dos X right now in the fridge, ready for me to absolutely devour this evening. And you can too. If you bang in the code STRAYA when you spend 20 wing whams and more at thedailyliquor.com. How good's that? So go check it out. Go check out thedailyliquor.com. It's Melbourne Metro delivery. Same day delivery before noon. So go get around it. Thank us later when you get a six-pack on your mate, Jimmy. Right. Yeah, Nas. MVP is MVP'd. Embiid, right. Is he MVP? Is he the most dominant player of the season? Blah, 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 blah. As he said, anytime you can have big tickets on yourself, I'm on board. Like, no one else is going to be a bigger proponent of you than fucking you. So good on you, Joel. That said, yeah, nah, I hate it because I do think that Embiid is probably the best and most dominant player of the year. But he has also missed a big chunk of it. And Jokic, meanwhile, has been basically as good, if not better, and hasn't missed a game. Like, that's the craziest part. I think there's a lot to be said for doing what Jokic is doing and playing every single goddamn game. Because as we always say, the best ability is availability.
You know, see what you did there? Being available is basically an ability, and it's also got ability in the word. Ah, very good. Yes. As they keep pointing out, no MVP has played less than 72 games, or the percentage thereon,
basically apart from the short and lockout seasons, apart from Bill Walton in 58, when he played, 58 games in 77-78. But that was because no one else was any good, and they were absolutely fucking unstoppable when he played. So, and you can scream as much as you want about like, oh, but Philly are by the number one seed and everything. It's like Denver are like, they have the same record. It's just that they're in the West. So they're the four seed. It's harder. I'm just saying. So it's super close. They could end up with the same record as the Sixers, even if they're the East number one seed. Jokic could have played basically every game and put up numbers just absolutely bonkers. But this is the thing. It shits me up the wall because I love Embiid's case this year. He's been absolutely amazing. He's a dominant big man, the likes of which we've barely seen in the last 30 years. And it's amazing. He's out there averaging 30 points a game, 15-odd rebounds. He's just awesome. And that's very, very, very fun. Like, Embiid being this good is absolutely crazy, right? Because I think, like, basically since, what is it? I think for this season, Embiid's out there actually only averaging a 30.1 point season, which is wild. Just think, and 11.5 rebounds per game. And he's played 40 games versus, what, Joker's run of, what, 58? So, yeah, it's a bit tough to argue for Embiid, but he's just been absolutely dominant. So, yeah, it's tough. Embiid can believe it, and it's fine. But Joker probably has the better case, doesn't he? The Sixers giving up 77.5 and 124 overall in this game against the Bucks without Ben Simmons. Is that a pretty good case for his Defensive Player of the Year candidacy, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, yeah, 100%. Even with Matty T and Danny Green, you could see the gaps out there, especially against the Bucks. You're like, oh, geez, yeah, they can't keep up. And Simo not being there, Tobias Harris basically being out there, you know, coming back from an injury, just no good. And, like, big Simo Ben Simmons, if everybody go, well, Rudy Gobert's even better, he's got a better team. It's like, yeah, I get it. But Simo's literally just doing everything all the time and just the absolute primary driver of that entire team. Like, it's crazy how important he is to that defense. So, it just really it makes a pretty good case by itself, but it's just another feather in the cap for the Ben Simmons Defensive Player of the Year. Just watching them without him against a really good team and they got absolutely fucking shellacked. Come on, man. Come on. Next up, will the Mavs beat out the Blazers for the number six seed now that they're tied, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Oh, nah. I reckon there's a turnaround coming for the Blazers, right? They get all their dudes back. They've got CJ back. They've got Nurk back. Even Dame's back now, which is pretty cool and pretty fun. And I feel like there's a bit of a Portland kind of resurgent run just waiting to happen, you know? And in terms of their schedule, it's always going to be a bit tough to sort of do the predictions of the schedules and stuff, just depending on who's playing when and where and all that sort of stuff. But their schedule the rest of the way, you kind of look at it, there's a bunch of Memphis games. I think they play Memphis three times in the next four games. And like essentially how they go in those three games is going to dictate the rest of the season. But they do still have like spots against Cleveland and Atlanta. But it is a bit of a tough run home. Whereas Dallas, I mean, similar kind of vibes. This is the thing. If you're in the West, it doesn't really matter about your schedule because it's just going to be hard regardless. Like you go, oh, well, geez, it's a bit easy. Like if you play Sacramento twice, you should be okay. And if you're Dallas, you're like, that's good. But at the same time, you're playing Sacramento and you're Dallas. Who knows what could happen? So, I don't know. I kind of trust the Blazers a little bit more, especially if the Mavs lose Zinger for a couple of games. I feel like the Mavs are just a little bit more volatile. I trust the Blazers a little bit more if they've got Dame and CJ and Nurk. So, I think they hold on to that sixth spot, and I think the Mavs have been the outside looking in. Can Utah win it all? This was a big thing on the end of the TNT broadcast tonight. Can they win it all? Can they win the title? You look at it now. They are the number one seed in the West. They've won games without, you know, old mate Donny Mitchell because Jingle Joe Ingles has been out there crushing it for them. But I don't know about you. It just sort of, they're 44 and 15. They're two games up on the Suns. But with all the respect in the world and how much I love Jingles, can you really look at this season and go, yeah, Utah deserve to win that one. They deserve to win the title. They were better than... Look, they've been better than everyone all season, apart from, like, literally, what, the first four games have been unstoppable essentially since then. But it's just... I can't really wrap my brain around the Utah Jazz being your NBA champion. So, with all respect and everybody in Utah, you're all a bit lunatic-y. But, oh, man, it's a bit tough. It could happen. I just don't see it. It'd be a bit of a surprise, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I kind of really enjoyed seeing the old blue Pistons unis going up against the Spurs white uniforms. Because, I don't know, it's not so much that I've got like a whole bunch of nostalgia for a whole bunch of really bad NBA finals. What was that, 2005, where the Spurs kicked the shit out of the Pistons? But, you know, like, good on them. It's fine. It was kind of nice that you're like, those horrible, horrible, like, you know, mid-thousands series when, like, no one gave a shit about, like, what, Lakers-Detroit and then Spurs-Detroit and was it Spurs-Cavs in 07? It was still kind of nice. It's just a good like, nice aesthetic. The white and black versus the blue and red. Just saying, it was good. That's pretty unpopular, I'll admit that. It's not like I'm hearkening back, oh, let's bring back the 2005 NBA. Fuck that. No, it was just a good uniform matchup. And finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yes, ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right. Here in Australia, we call it horse piss, but in America, we call it Australian for beer to flog off to you idiot Yanks and sell at Outback Takehouse. And it goes great, that horse piss, that oil drum can full of it, with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, Adam Silver should be impeached for all these injuries this year. Or at least the NBA should have to pay anyone who gets hurt this season double their salary. Then we'll see if the NBA is really like, nah, the schedule's fine, everybody will be fine. And also, the NBA should fucking let teams rest whoever the fuck they want, when they want, because there's no fucking fans there anyway, you absolute cock knockers. What are you doing, dickheads? Only at Outback. I do love that Pop today was like, yeah, I'm resting Patty Mills. Find me. I don't give a fuck. It's just great. Pop having zero fucks about it, and Adam Silver being a bunch of dipshits in the NBA head office about this. I don't know if you can notice, but this week I've just been more and more pissy because I think as we've gotten through this season, we've all kind of realized, 72 games. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, shorten it more, give us more rest, avoid injuries, and away we go. And look, you can point to some of these injuries and go, Trae Young, he went over on his ankle. The Zinger went over on his ankle. They're not hammies. They're not calf strains. It's not like soft tissue injuries or groins or whatever. But when you play this many games in this short amount of time, all it's going to be is like your body will be dinged up in all these different places. And when you go down somewhere, like you could see with the Zinger, like he just kind of went up a little bit weird. His foot got a little bit caught. And his sort of just body just crumpled over the ankle as he came down. It's like, yeah, maybe if it's a little bit fresher, he lands a little bit easier and away you go. But it kills me and annoys me because there's no we need to play 72 for the money. You've got plenty of fucking money. Are you going to go poor, NBA? Are you going to have no? We've gone broke because we played 60 games this season. You idiots. Shut up. Shut up, idiots. Right, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch right after. Who are we going to go today? Let's go, Hammer.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Noble. What do NBA All-Star Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences and they've all created audio courses to teach you what they have learned. They're all on Noble, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized audio courses. They're short, like a podcast, expert-led, like an audio book, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff, and I love it. The bloke from NASA, he teaches you about space, which is great. I'm reading The Expanse at the moment, and I've listened to the Scott Kelly one. I'm like, wow, this is some good nerd shit. I love it. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, and there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download Knowable from your app store. Visit knowable.fyi if you want. Download the app. Either way, bang in the code STRAYA and get 20% off and thank me later because you'll be smart. It's sick. I love them. I'm not the smartest, but I do get smarter every time I use my knowable. Right, let's do the Australian Player Watch. Big Simo Ben Simmons. Oh, Box Hill Benny out again with his non-COVID illness. Hopefully he's all right soon. Matty T came off the bench today for the Sixers. 25 minutes, 5 points, shot 2 or 3 from the floor, 1 or 2 from downtown. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. And I'll tell you what, Matty T is tied with Michael Jordan, the year that he won Defensive Player of the Year, for the second best defensive box plus minus in the nearly 50 years that they've had steals and blocks charted. And I'll tell you why, because Because Matty T leads all guards in the NBA with 58 blocks this season. That is absolutely unreal. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Bills, as mentioned, he was rested against the Pistons. And Josh Greeny Green. Copter did not play coach's decision against the Lakers, which kind of stinks, but hey, you get that on the big jobs. Still no word on Kung Fu Thon or Will the Thrill Magnay, but look, we'll keep our ears to the ground, won't we? All right, let's do a Friday special. The old Luke Longley Memorial Blokers does their bloody job role player award, and this week I want to give this one to. It's a bit of a combo. We could almost do a combo great moment in NBA Australia stat history. What do you reckon?
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
All at once, jeez, it's all going on. Aaron Bangers Baines, because Bangers, 3 years ago, was out there dropping 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 assists as a starter for the Boston Celtics against the Milwaukee Bucks. He goes bang, does Bangers. That's pretty bloody good. You know, for a bloke who could, you know, go out there and get you a game where he has 37 and 16, it does throw into stark relief the very interesting career that Bangers has had and where he is now in Toronto, just doing his bloody job, not arcing up, not having a sook, just being a bloody good teammate and being benched because his fucking coach doesn't know his ass from his elbow. Sure, Nick Nurse won a title, but Bangers has got one already as well. They're championship brothers. That's how it goes. But Bangers is out there being a very valuable teammate, delivering just the most on-point high fives you can imagine. Just coming with the force of like 1,000 Mack trucks all at once. And you love to see it. So Bangers is out there doing his job when we all know that he could go out and drop 37 and 16 and hit 9 threes without breaking a sweat. Or as he did 3 years ago on this day, dropped 9 points, 11 rebounds and kicked the crap out of the Bucks. But Aaron Bangers Baines, he hasn't got time for that. He's out here going, what can I do to help this team? If it involves me sitting on the bench and high-fiving everybody and giving my support to all the other members of my Toronto, Tampa, Baines, Raptors teams, then that's what I'm going to do. So, on your Bangers. Today, you're the one of the first, I think that might be the first combo. Luke Longley, Bloker just does their bloody job and a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. You might be the first combo winner ever. You love to see it. On your Bangers. And it just feels weird because I just don't feel like he's gotten enough love for this so far this season. So on your Bangers, way to go. Right, Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Good one today because Paddy's out there tweeting some great photos of himself that then also got retweeted by the Spurs. And the Spurs tweeted every day is Earth Day. Let's continue to help take care of our home together. Photos of Paddy Mills out there in the bush and out there snorkeling on a reef. Looks absolutely awesome. Paddy retweeted that. And I don't know, man, if there's anyone who deserves the moniker Brother Earth. Brother Earth? There you go. It's Paddy Mills. He's awesome. Right. Let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's it all going?
Oh, mate, now that I'm feeling okay and I'm all dosed up on some cold and flu meds for, basically they've run their course throughout the week. I'm feeling all right. And we did all right in the picks today as well, I'll tell you that much. We went 4 of 6. That's all right. Feeling all right about for a second there with that Lakers run, but 4 of 6, you'll take that. Luckily, hit the ones that I actually had money on. 519 of 943 we are for the season with that 4 and 6. So pretty good, but we have got some absolute belter. And look, this is, so I think a lot of my problem with the NBA and what I was talking about earlier with this scheduling shit is that you got, like, even if you're ESPN and TNT and everybody, like, you've got to be pissed, right? Because you could look at this game today, like somewhere like Boston and Phoenix. You're like, oh, that's a great matchup. Or Lakers, Dallas, or, you know, for instance, Sixers, Bucks. And the teams are having to be super conservative about resting players, and they're all basically playing on these horrible back-to-backs. They've played a million games in like the last week and a half. And the TV guys are sitting there going, shit. All right, well, we've got Dallas versus the Lakers. AD's going to come back. There's no LeBron. Zinger goes out anyway. Gee, and like the Sixers have got no Simo. It's just an absolute beat down. The Bucks kick the crap out of them because the Sixers are on a back-to-back. The Suns are on a back-to-back, just don't even want to be there. So when you look at schedules and you go, oh, well, that'd be fun. It turns around, you look at the game, you're like, Jesus, George Hill's starting. Yeah, nah, I'm out. So a bit of a tough one. But anyway, we've got some all right looking games so far this weekend. Miami, Atlanta. I'm going to go the Heaters here, -5. Atlanta without Trey, at least for a couple of games. Bogdan has filled in admirably in the past. But Miami, I think, are really just sort of figuring out their stuff. I think their clamps are going to come down a little bit. Miami might just sort of shake off a little bit of the rust heading into the playoffs, and I reckon they'll become a bit of a, just that sort of the idealized version of what we thought the Heat were going to be. And I think it's when they played teams like Atlanta, it really comes out pretty hardcore. So give me Miami -5. Boston, go to Brooklyn. The Nets are 5.5-point favorites. Boston's going to be pretty tough to back that up against the Suns. Good win today against the Suns. Brooklyn, slightly more rested. Probably with Kyrie going against his old mates there from Boston. Probably no KD. 5.5-point favorites of the Brooklyn Nets. I might take that. I think they've probably just got a little bit too much with Kyrie and with all the weapons around him. We've seen it. I think they can match that again. Boston on a back-to-back as well. It's going to be tough. So give me Brooklyn -5.5. Cleveland! Whoa! Cleveland +1 against Charlotte. Charlotte on a back-to-back. Cleveland is sneaky. They probably shouldn't win these games, but they keep doing it. I'm going to take Cleveland +1 here. It's basically a battle of two, lots of small guards, and I think Cleveland's are a little bit better, especially on a back-to-back. Give me the Cavs. Clippers go to Houston. The Rockets are 11.5-point underdogs at home. I think I might take that. The Clippers probably won't roll out. They'll probably play Paul George. They'll probably hold out Kawhi for a little bit longer. Houston can stick with teams. I'm going to say Houston +11.5 if it's the Clippers sort of mash unit. If they've got Paul George, they probably cover, but I don't know. It's a little bit up in the air. I'll take Houston +11 right now. Washington, a 9-point favorite, going to OKC. Washington have been really good the last sort of 3 weeks. I think they cover the -9 against OKC pretty handily. It's the old Rusty Westbrook going back to his old stomping ground. Watch him shoot 3 of 14, but get a triple-double, but they also win. So give me Washington -9. Denver, go to Golden State. This is a really interesting one. The Joker up against Steph. The Nuggets are 3-point favorites in Golden State. Now, we have seen Denver go to Golden State and get their ass handed to them before. So what's going to happen in this one? I think Golden State come out on fire and actually take it to Denver. I'm going to go Golden State +3 at home against the Nugs. The Nugs, look, MPJ, Air Gordon, the Joker. It's been good. Golden State, I think they might just throw everything they can handle at Denver. So I think Golden State will win this one +3. And then Memphis go to Portland. As mentioned, Memphis and Portland play a bunch of times in the next week. 3 times, in fact. I think the Grizzlies get the first one. I'm going to take the Grizzlies +2.5 against Portland in Portland. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I like the Grizzlies. They're just sneaky tough. You know? They really are. Portland are as well. I think they'll still take a baby steps with Dame. I reckon Memphis get this first one. Sunday, Australia time. We've got Toronto at New York City. The Knickerbockers of New York City taking, you know, hosting the Raps. This is a fascinating one as well. Julius Randle and co. I think they can take care of the Raptors. They need to. But this would be a very Toronto thing, wouldn't it? The Knicks are feeling great about themselves, flying high. Yeah, actually, I'm going to flip that. I'm going to go Toronto against the Knicks in New York City. You got Kyle Lowry, you've got Fred VanVleet. I think that would be a little bit too much. That'd be hilarious. Philly, replay against Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee can win the return game again. Well, it's in Milwaukee, so they're just staying home and beating them again. Detroit go to Indy. Now, this is where I feel like Indy, just out of nowhere, dropped this game and feel very bad about themselves. And Detroit are like, what are we doing? We've got to stop winning these games. Detroit, they're too young to know any better. I think they win that. Chicago go to Miami. I think Miami keep rolling and win that against Chicago. The big man battle between Vooch and Bam should be very fun. But I think Miami just got too many weapons for Chicago. San Antonio versus New Orleans again. Look, San Antonio are a weird matchup for a lot of teams. New Orleans is not one of them. I think New Orleans trucked them with Zion and Spindles. The Spurs just can't quite match up. Poeltl and Keldon Johnson. Can't quite see it. Give me the Pelicans at home. Lakers go to Dallas again. They're going to stay there. I think the Lakers get the second one. It's always tough to win the two in the baseball series, so give me the Lakers in Dallas. Utah host Minnesota. I think they take care of Minnesota, no problems. And Denver beat Houston in Denver with both teams on a back-to-back. Monday, we've got Boston at Charlotte. I think this is... Oh, I love a good Terry Rozier revenge game. Kemba, though, will go off in his old stomping ground. Give me Boston at Charlotte. Phoenix go to Brooklyn. I think I'll take the Nets. I think the Nets will just have like a random couple of good wins under their belt, and Phoenix will have like this weird little 2-3 game swoon just after everyone's blown smoke up their ass. And it was like, what's going on? It's like Devin Booker needs to get out of the Jenner business. So give me Brooklyn. Memphis at Portland. I think Portland win this second one. Cleveland. Go to Washington. I'm going to take Washington. I think Washington are feeling pretty good about themselves. Now they're within like the actual, you know, punching distance of the playoffs. So I reckon they'll keep rolling. Give me Washington. Milwaukee, go to Atlanta. Probably a good chance to rest some dudes for Milwaukee here. Let's say Atlanta win that one. Yeah. I think it's a pretty good chance for Milwaukee just to take a bit of a chill pill. Atlanta will probably sneak up and win them. Indy, go to Orlando. I think I'll take the Pacers there. Even against Orlando, the Pacers should be fine. Sacramento, go to Golden State, and Golden State will win that. So there you go. That is, I think, 22 games over this weekend, which is a little bit lighter than some of the other past weekends. We've had 25, so that'll be fun. Either way, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Remember, bet responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. And that's it for the weekend. Enjoy that. It's a big weekend. It's a lot of good stuff going on, so enjoy it. I'm going to be up in Ballarat. Got my brother Bob's birthday. Drink some tins. Be cold. The classic. Right. We'll see you on Mondays. Wrap up all that weekend action. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter. Face the IG in between. Lots of stuff going on. Get around the NBA Australia raffle if you haven't already. You can win a merch pack, a KO subscription, a league pass subscription. Either or. What else? We've got a meat tray. Lots of great stuff. So go check that out on our socials. Click through. Buy some tickets. They're cheap as. Awesome. We are.co are awesome as well. Check us rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on an Android phone. It really does help if you rate and review. Come on, hook a brother up. Check out World Wrestling Straya with Adam on FWCI over there on YouTube. Subscribe to FWCI. All of Adam's stuff is really good anyway. His reaction videos are amazing. And World Wrestling Straya is just a cracker. I absolutely fucking love it. I've learned so much about wrestling. I'm like, that's who? It's unreal. So go check it out on YouTube. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code STRAYA there. Get a free six-pack. Knowable.fi. I get 20% off with the code STRAYA as well. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now, and it's the best. Also, big thanks go to Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers. For all the tunes you hear throughout the show, give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth and Faced. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands! All right, we're going to close out today's show with a... Oh, let's do a Cooking with Bainesy. We'll do a classic barbecue Cooking with Bainesy, I reckon, today. So stick around, give that a listen. And we'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend, would ya? I know I will. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, hosen!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live, socially distanced audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. All right. G'day. It's good to see the smattering of yous here in this studio. This is amazing. It's nice to see you're all wearing your face mask and you're all socially distanced. Oh, that's beautiful, it is. But the best part is, this is Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. And look, in this here very special socially distanced episode, I'm going to get you to whip up an absolute treat. That's right, it's one of my all-time Aussie favourites. You can have it whenever. It's probably the best slab of meat you'll ever bloody eat. Because that's right, it's the secret Bangers Brisket Barbie Bonanza! Straight out of Texas. You little ripper. Texas, Australia, I'll tell you what. That's right, I love me a big old slab of brisket cooked up on the barbie for about 8 years. Or in this case, about 8 hours. And it's oozy as, mate. You might think it's a bit complicated, but there's nothing less complicated than just cooking some meat. And if you really do it properly and get all your sides bang on, it'll help you keep up this physique. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so let's get stuck in.
It is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your butcher, ask him for his best bit of brisket. You might have to call ahead or even ask him. Just walk past a few days beforehand, whatever. It's bloody worth it. Get the best brisket you can. Then you duck over to the soupy, get your gear for your spice mix. Now, this is banger spice mix. Brown sugar, paprika, onion, garlic, salt, some mustard, some cumin, and a bit of black pepper. And you're laughing. Get some gear for your sauce. You need some vinegar, some ketchup, or as I call it, tomato sauce, Worcestershire sauce, garlic, and some of those spices. Just toss them in. Go fucking mad. Now, get some sides. Load up with your sides at the soupy. Some green beans, some mac and cheese, a thing of coleslaw, plenty of potatoes to get more whip than my mate Simo when he was with that Kardashian. There you go. Now, fire up your barbie. Get her up to a nice even 120. Look, you can use charcoal, you can use gas, it doesn't bloody matter. If you're using charcoal, throw in some tasty, you know, wood chips in there for some smoky flavour if you want. I personally don't give a fuck, mate. You can just chuck it on the grill. Just gas, it doesn't matter, mate. Just, now, mix your spices together. Mix them all up, there you go. Now rub them in all over your brisket. Now, some people like to cut the fat back. You can just leave it on, doesn't matter. Just rub it all in nice and even like you're massaging my big mate Bogey's hammy after a big game. Oh, he gets you to do it and it's fucking gross. Oh. I'll tell you what. But anyway, let it sit there for a bit if you want after you've rubbed that all in. Nice looking, tasty, big slab of meat. Leave it, you know, half an hour to an hour, whatever. She's right there. Bang her on. Just bang her on the barbie. Close the lid. Bit of foil underneath it and away you go. Let that bastard cook for 8 to 10 hours. Simple. I mean, in the meantime, just keep an eye on the temperature. Crack a slab. Check the internal temperature of the meat every so often. You want around 75 degrees once she's cooked. Neck a bunch of tins. Watch some footy. Then with about an hour until she's good, get to work on your sides. Whip your potatoes. Cook your greens, your mac and cheese. Dump your coleslaw out. Put it all on some nice little plates so it all looks nice and neat. It'll look special as. Rip the brisket out. Sit there for an hour. Bang. Bob's your bloody uncle. Look at this, just, oh, I'm just slicing it open. Look at that bloody brisket. That is bloody mouth-watering, that is. Mate, you can put it on sliders, or you can just eat it raw, dog. It doesn't matter. I'm going to slice this up, put it on a plate. Bob's your bloody barbie-loving uncle. It is awesome. My friends, this is an absolute bloody ripper of a banger's brisket barbie bonanza. It is delicious, and it'll dead set impress all your mates and all the Sheilas. Don't you worry about that. All right, so just getting stuck in. This is bloody delicious. Do it at home yourselves. You'll have heaps left over to take to work for lunch. Whatever, mate. You will love it. Just look how bloody. Look, I've cooked enough for all of you, so you're going to love it. There you go. All right, tune in next week to NBA Australia for a new recipe, and we will see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.